Welcome to the Seeding Social Good podcast by Turnkey. I'm Katrina Van Hus, chair and founder of Turnkey, and this podcast is all about figuring out what works to help us all do more good faster.
Hello, everyone. How are you? We're glad you're here. I am Katrina Van Hus. I'm the founder of Turnkey for Good, and I'm here with three other people today. I made four. We're going to talk about boards and how to get the best out of them by eliminating some of the most common problems. The first person we have with us is Anne-Marie Forbes. Anne-Marie and I go back a long way. She is the last person who ever fired me. So anyway, it's a good story. And then we have Robert Wolf, who is the founder of Zek. And Robert is, Anne-Marie and Robert and Trey are sort of the two sides of coin. Trey is the, let me see, runs everything important role at Zek, Trey Muscola.
So yeah, I try for sure.
Okay, so let me frame this conversation up. So we've got two sides of the same coin here. Anne-Marie is going to address the human side of board dysfunction. And Robert and Trey are going to address the technology side of board dysfunction. I'm a real believer that technology will not save us if the humans aren't prepared to be saved. You know, the technology rope will bounce off their hands and you will still drown unless the humans are ready to grab the rope. So we're going to talk about both those things. Anne-Marie, I'm going to go to you first, if that's all right.
So, sure.
So one of the things that we've seen over the years, I've been doing this 34 years, and I think you and I are neck and neck for, yes, that's enough talk about that. Strategic plans and board functions, sometimes they get disconnected. So tell me, in your world and in your experience, how do you keep the board focused on the strategic plan and going in that direction?
You know, boards get disconnected from the strategic plan when they don't see themselves in it, when they don't have an actual role in your strategic pillars or in the tactics that have been selected to move those activities forward. So I found in my experience that they are far more engaged in developing the strategic plan if they understand the staff role and what activities the staff will be doing and measuring that the board will monitor on a dashboard. And what are they going to do? So if you have a public awareness pillar, how does the board, what does the board do to help with that? And one easy fix is that each board member finds you a speaking engagement. All of a sudden, it becomes very actionable and they see themselves in the strategic plan, building awareness about your organization. Their job is to get you the speaking engagement unless they happen to be trained to do that. But the bottom line is they have to see themselves in it. They have to see and understand their role in monitoring and measuring. And they have to understand this is not a document we put on the shelf. This is a living, breathing organism where we may have to be nimble. And the CEO or executive director brings it back to say, hey, something flew into our orbit that might be more important than what we thought was 2 years ago. Let's talk about it. It doesn't mean we add something. It means we may take away. And the board has to be brave enough, nimble enough, strategic enough to say, what just flew in our orbit, we see how that moves us forward. But they have to see themselves in it.
So Anne-Marie, I give, just for the audience, I give these guys the questions sort of ahead of time, but then we're always going to take a left, and I want to take a left. So many people in the audience will be from the bigs. You know, I've got a board that is, you know, people who were recruited potentially for finance sake and maybe not for their professional skills. And then on the other end of the spectrum, I have people who are literally the staff of the nonprofit. How would you address what you're saying to each of those two kinds? And then there's that weird bird in the middle where, you know, half the board is engaged operationally and half's not.
Yeah. So to the bigs, I would say the reason those board members are on your board is because they have connections. And so dream big. What are those big connections they have that uniquely they have where they can see themselves in your plan? So if you have, you know, the chief strategist for a Fortune 500 company, they can connect you with some amazing resources, but they have to see and be asked. For the smalls, your board members are just looking for ways to make a difference. They know you're working 20 hours a day, and they, what little thing can they do that will make a big impact? And believe me, them getting you as a speaker at the Rotary to share your mission, them getting you a speaking engagement at a physician conference that aligns with your mission or a free booth makes a difference. We just have to put it in the plan. We have to be brave enough to break it down and put it in the plan so we know we're working on it.
So you're saying use the board member using their own personal social status to get a speaking engagement makes them suddenly very interested in where the organization is actually going. It's just a way to make them pay attention because they put themselves at risk a little bit, right?
Yeah, they do the same with their role in fundraising, yeah. Right? If your board is selling tables for a gala, then are they? And are we measuring it? If that's an expectation, I'm not saying it is everywhere, but a strategic plan is looking at the big picture through those pillars. And it's also in your operational plan, looking at the tactics to achieve it. And if the board does not see themselves or recognize how they can impact it, then why are they there?
Got it.
Right. They have to see a role for themselves in your plan.
All right. Very good. I'm going to go to the second fix. And that is, it takes a tremendous amount of staff time typically to prepare for a board meeting. And Robert, I'm going to go to you. Robert, you had an experience that I think you and a compatriot of yours decided we got to fix this. What was the experience that you had?
Well, and it relates so much to what Anne Marie was talking about. So at our first two companies, it took our team 100 hours to build the board deck. It was monumentally stressful. We had no map. We didn't know what to include in it. So,
and which were those two companies, Robert, just to give people an idea of scale?
So the first company is called Moose Jaw. We were acquired by Walmart, so we had a real board. The second company where Trey and I worked at together is called CrowdRise. We were acquired by GoFundMe. So Okay. Same situation. We had these amazing VCs on our board. We would spend these 100 hours building the board presentation. We would send it to the board 3 days before the board meeting. They would presumably read it, only for us to get into the boardroom and reread it to them. So it was not only was it stressful, it was a monumental waste of time for everyone. We didn't realize that this angst was universal until after our companies were acquired and we got out there and started serving on boards. And I love one of the points that Anne Marie made, because I've been on the board of a nonprofit for about 5 years, and we've been using PowerPoint and had that same experience that I just described. I would go into the board meeting and for 3 hours have slides that I already read back to me. As a board member, I never once had a to-do. They never asked me to do anything. We actually switched to Zach, which is more of an engagement platform that drives collaboration. Now we go into the board meeting and it's all strategic. It's all banter. The board members actually take ownership. And it's not only is it better for the organization, it's way more fun. So I think, Anne Marie, your idea of engaging board members, asking them to take on tasks to help the organization, it's so important, not only for the organization, but also for the board, to have them feel more involved than just donating money.
Very nice. Excellent. All right. So Anne Marie, in the absence of an engagement tool, because not everybody's going to have one, and it in and of itself will not solve the problem, how do you address that? The inordinate amount of time staff spends preparing for a meeting, and then the staff or the board members don't actually read it beforehand.
Yeah. I will never forget a board member of mine named Mary, because during one of my performance reviews, I brought up this issue. She goes, "What's your greatest frustration?" I said, "Why don't you guys read what I send you?" And she said, "You are going to have to get over yourself. We work full time. If you need us to do something, then you have to either package it, call us, meet with us. It is on you to remind us in some way, shape, or form, because it's what you do all day long. It is not what we do all day long. It fundamentally changed how I interacted with my board. Because first of all, I had let my little CEO ego get in the way that somehow it was, you know, they were deliberately not preparing. And so I had to realize, okay, what ways can I make this where they want to interact? They want to see the latest. They want to. And we then insisted on having a strategic topic on every agenda. Get over the business as fast as we possibly can. Consent agenda, a tool like Zec. What can we do fast? We're still doing what we need to do from a governance perspective. But then what discussion moves us forward as an organization? What information do they need in advance to prepare? Do I have any subject matter experts on my staff or in the community that are going to present? And then let them talk strategically, big picture, about what it is. And man, does board attendance shoot up and engagement increase, because they're doing what we recruited them to do, which is make a difference and use their brains.
Yeah, just one additional related note. At our first company, the shortest deck we ever sent to our board was 134 pages. We didn't know what to include, so we included everything. We wanted to look pro in front of our board. That was a mistake. I used to get upset with our board because they didn't read everything. It was actually my fault. Because the notion that I would send them a 134-page deck 2.5-3 days before the board meeting and expect them to consume it all wasn't their fault. It was my fault. And they couldn't even read these men and women were on planes and in Ubers, and they couldn't read it on their phone because it was not responsive. So I feel like I didn't understand that it was my responsibility. Sort of I was the same as you, Anne-Marie. Someone needed to say to me, hey, it's not the board's problem, it's your problem. Get them something that's valuable to them. Took me a long time to figure that out.
Yeah. Marshall McLuhan is a famous communications philosopher almost, and he always put forth a million years ago when I got a journalism degree, put forth, you know, the burden of communication is on the communicator. So you're right. It's not that they don't want to understand, it's that we can't understand it for them. But it's up to us, you know.
I think Mark Twain said something like, if I had more time, I would write you a shorter note.
Yes. Right?
It's hard to write concisely, but you have to surface the information to your board that they're going to care about most so that they are able to help you.
You know, what you're saying echoes my own experience. You know, as I stepped down from the CEO role and step back a little bit, I've been able to test some of my own theories by volunteering in a very small nonprofit, 2.5 people, staff. And I'm having exactly the same problems with this board, exactly the same problems. It seems like it is totally a human problem and not a scale problem. It's the same at every level. You can't get smaller than us. And it's exactly what you're describing. All right, so let's move on. The humans, they're not engaged, Anne-Marie. They're just not leaned in. How do we get them more engaged and moving?
I truly believe if board members aren't engaged, it's because, or they're uninvolved, underinvolved, or an absentee, right? That each person is unique and different. And we have a responsibility as the CEOs or EDs to figure that out. And is the lack of engagement a true misalignment of the mission? They got in, realized this is not my thing, and they don't know how to get out. And our job is to give people graceful outs. We can't do that if we don't have a relationship with each person. Okay. Underinvolved, that's on us, right? That's on us. A lack of engagement, if they are aligned with the mission, is on us. And so one of the things I recommend, and if you can do this with your board chair or your governance chair, wonderful. If not, the CEO or ED can do it. And that's one-on-one meetings once a year to really assemble a portfolio for that board member. What program are they going to attend? What fundraising event are they going to attend? Give them the date of the board retreat. Anything that is an expectation. What speaking engagements are they going to line up? Are they going to go to the National Health Conference with you? What is it that we are asking of them? And what can they uniquely do for the organization that no one else can do? Because that's why we recruited them. If I don't uniquely know Trey's talents, I just recruited him. Well, then that's on me. But if I find out that Trey has this magical way of engaging people on social media because of how he tells a story, then I need to ask him to use that. Again, when we ask people to use the talents that they were recruited for, and then we give them everything they need to do it, engagement goes up. Now, if it still doesn't, then that's a different conversation. That's a matter of time or interest or, you know, something. And we just have to be honest and talk about it.
Hey, Emery, could you maybe role play an offboarding that's out of cycle as gracefully done as possible for someone who is, let's say, simply does not have the bandwidth in their life to do this right now?
So, Katrina, how are you today?
I'm great. Thank you.
I am so glad we found a moment, because I know you are swamped. Since you came on the board 3 years ago, you have brought so much to us. But I've noticed in the last 7 months that your life is, it's crammed full. So I want you to feel comfortable sharing with me how you feel about board service right now. Because, you know, we have things we want you to do, but if you can't, I understand. I still respect and admire you. But what's going on and how are you feeling about it?
You know, Anne-Marie, work has ramped. I've got some family health problems. They've ramped. I feel terribly guilty. I really want to do this, but I got to say, I'm not sure how it's going to work out on my end of the stick.
So are you interested in taking a leave of absence, or do you want to take a break as a board member and we can circle back in a year or two when some things might change?
Now, I'm going to pretend I'm not the utterly oblivious person I actually am. I'm going to be, no, I'm in, I've got it. And I would take your gracious offer of an out. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's really
now, lovely. If the person is clueless, has no self-awareness, then And first of all, the ideal person to have this conversation is your governance chair or a board member. That is the ideal, right? You really want this to be volunteer to volunteer. There are times in some organizations where you might do it in partnership. But ideally, I've coached the board chair or the governance chair to have this conversation, because that is where that relationship should sit. If it doesn't happen, then the CEO sometimes has to have this conversation. It's right. Just a little more different.
Okay. One question. It's actually related to one of the first couple of fixes that we talked about. So let's say we've given a board person a role, you know, so that they're more in tune with the strategic plan. What happens if they go too far? Like suddenly they think they're in charge of finance. Like, I'm in charge of finance now because I got this thing. Well, how do you get them back in the box, so to speak? Like, they've gone too far. They're telling staff what to do. They're asking to see payroll, things like that.
Board members sometimes are doing that because they truly do not know their role. And so I'm a firm believer that before we can do the blame game, we have to look at ourselves and say, what kind of training and orientation did I provide? Did I really talk about the difference between management and operations role and a governance role? So let's look in the mirror and assume that the person just doesn't understand yet. So that is my pitch for everyone really should have governance training, if not every year, every other year, because you have new board members that come on and they deserve it. If this person has had training, is just still doing this, then again, this is when your board chair is your best partner and ally, unless it's your board chair. But in those weekly or biweekly conversations with the board chair to say, hey, I need your help. We got to figure out what to do with Gary because he's directing staff. I could really use your help redirecting him to me. I don't want him to feel beat up, but the reality is he can't be assigning work to my team, and he's assigning work to my team. So if the board chair says, hey, I think you should call Gary yourself, you've known him for years, then I'm going to say, can we do this together? Because again, this can be awkward, but sometimes they will abdicate and want you to have those difficult conversations. This is my other plug for having a governance committee. The governance committee is responsible for the health of the board, and they become the group that you can bring these kinds of things to. But if you don't have that, then you have to rely on good governance practices, training, and an honest but diplomatic conversation about, hey, bring that stuff to me. That's okay. I work for the board, but my people don't. So go ahead and bring them to me. I can share with you what we aren't doing and why. But it's very confusing to the staff when you go directly to them. And so I need your help. Most powerful words in the world. I need your help. Please come to me with that.
Let's say that, you know, you've got all these problems and you've managed them to the extent that you have been able to, but it's still hard. And you've decided to invest in a piece of software that you think is going to help. How do you get your board ready to accept this new piece of software?
I make it sound very exciting. I mean, this is, it's a problem they have brought to me, right? When Mary said, get over yourself. It's your job to remind us, engage us, make this interesting. Then I can say, oh my gosh, we have a solution that is going to put everything you need in one place. No more going to this, no more going to that, no more attachments you can't find, no more, you can't open it on your phone. We have a great solution that we're going to try. We're going to try it for a year, and then we're going to evaluate it and see what you think.
I already gave a little bit of background why we decided to start Zach. At the end of the day, we're trying to flip the misery of the board meeting and make it significantly more valuable. When we initially launched, we thought our primary value adds would be saving leadership teams time, because it just takes ages to put board decks together. And we're not talking 10% of your time. Now that we've launched Zec AI, we're talking about saving you 80, 90% of your time, and also allowing you to send a superior presentation to your board. So to us, the idea that people are using PowerPoint or Google Slides that your board members cannot read on their phone is just insane. So we used to actually build Squarespace sites because that was the only way we could make these presentations mobile. But that took us ages. We had to hire a graphic designer to make it look good. Zec solves for that. Having said that, now that we have lots of nonprofits and real companies using the product, it's the collaboration and engagement that Anne-Marie was talking about that's the real game changer. So Zec has really become a collaborative workspace as opposed to a flat presentation, so that the leadership team and the board can align prior to the board meeting so that these are significantly more productive.
I'm just really thankful for you guys, Robert and Trey, and thankful you developed the product. I think it was a hole in the market, to be sure, and I'm glad you jumped in it. Change starts with just one person, you. If today's episode got your gears turning, don't forget to share it with your network. And hey, why not drop us a review? Your review helps more people find us and spread the good.
be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Until next time, this is Katrina signing off from Seeding Social Good Podcast by Turnkey. Stay inspired, keep making waves, and let's create a better world together.